us. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, that's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. Plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Loveline. My name is DJ Misplaced Priorities 10,000, and I've got a studio chock full of people tonight, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
And a roving host as well.
By all means, we have a remote host connected via the satellite uplink, and
cackles.
Are you there, remote host?
Remote host is available and ready.
Excellent. Excellent. Well,
can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I feel like I'm on some kind of like satellite delay or something.
So, with us tonight is adventurer, photojournalist, and digital poet Ariel. And Ariel, in her few short years on this earth, has lived 10 lifetimes and is going to be sharing some of her experiences with us. The title of the show is Snapshots of the Inner Sanctum. And like I said, I am DJ Misplaced Priorities 10,000, and I am...
Pablo's here.
Pablo's here.
And Anne is here.
And welcome, Ariel, and welcome to you all. So, Ariel, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about some of your sexual experiences, and I'd like to just jump right into that. Can you reveal for our listeners what the strangest sexual proposition you've ever received was?
Oh, well, definitely the strangest proposition that I have received was at a party. There was this guy there who actually was a pornographic movie actor, although that doesn't really have a bearing on the story.
Straight porn? Gay porn?
He didn't specify, actually. He gave a bit of a live demonstration later in the party, and that was definitely heterosexual, at least while I was in the room. But anyway, so back to the proposition. There was a general call for somebody to make a liquor store run, and I had volunteered, and this particular guy's request had been to find a bottle of French champagne, and he gave me, you know, $25 to see if I could find some. And I was, in fact, able to do so. When I brought it back and gave him the bottle, he took it and thanked me and then asked me if I'd be willing to run it through my kidneys for him first.
Run it through your
To run it through my kidneys for him, yeah.
Interesting. Well, run the champagne. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Was he going to, once it had run through your kidneys and been totally processed biologically, was it going to drink it or just wallow in it?
No, I think drinking was what he had in mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Pablo, you were a pornographic actor in the 70s, is that right?
Yeah, well, that was before I regained better judgment,
this
actually.
This was you were gay porn, you were gay for pay, as they say, right?
Pablo was the original Dirk Diggler.
No, Dirk Diggler, that's a stupid name, and that movie is totally unrealistic. Believe me, I was inside the business, and that movie is not... What is the name of that movie, anyway?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, yeah. No, that's not realistic, at least not in the country that I was doing this. But I was gay for pay, but I didn't particularly like to do it only when I was short of money. Most of the time I did the other stuff very gladly. But I never got into this aspect of, in fact, a lot of actors were into water sports, are they called? Is that correct?
I don't think water sports necessarily requires drinking.
Okay.
It's more of a shower kind of thing. I'm not sure what I would call it.
Well, I certainly wasn't into anything involving urine because I'm a pretty conservative porno actor. But a lot of people in the business were into that, and I was always surprised the way that was.
So part of back to this party, the live porn demonstration that he gave later.
Did you accept the proposition?
Oh no, I didn't. not only did I not accept, but I now, sort of older, wiser, and more jaded, regret that I didn't turn him down a little bit more gently. I wasn't cruel or anything, but I did.
Well, wait. Now that
why did you turn it down?
I mean, why did I turn it down?
All you had to do was drink French champagne and then piss into a bottle.
My alcohol tolerance, especially with champagne, it would have taken me a week to drink the entire bottle. It just would not have been particularly accurate, although I would have been, you know, kind of curious as to whether he could actually tell that it was the champagne that I had drunk. I mean, I could have gone in the other room and...
Right, that's my question. I mean,
you know, passed it along, especially after specifying French champagne, right, and that, you know, it had to be just the right champagne.
Does your urine's flavor change after you eat various things? I mean, I've heard that your actually semen can taste a lot different if you're eating various different foods, but...
Haven't you ever tasted after eating garlic or onions?
Tasted anybody? Can you be more specific?
Tasted anyone's genitalia after they've eaten garlic or onions?
I don't know. I hadn't really noticed. Mm. Is there some kind of issue?
Yeah, it tastes like garlic or onions.
Well, the problem is that I usually eat the garlic or the onions with them, so I give them a rush more than tasting anything myself. But is that true? I could believe that it changes how it tastes, but that the flavor actually transmits after so many chemical transformations is surprising. It could create a whole industry, gourmet industry, actually, of sex, I suppose. Yeah.
Mm.
So French champagne might not be a whim. It might be an actual tasteful desire.
So on the other strange kind of experiences, now that you're older and wiser, would you say yes if the same man approached you at a party tomorrow?
Well, I mean, my head for champagne has not gotten any better. So I would not with the whole bottle of champagne, certainly. But would I ever press something through my kidneys for somebody to do that with? I don't know. Maybe.
Interesting.
Would you do anything like that, Cord?
DJ misplaced priorities.
I'm sorry, Mr. DJ.
Misplaced
priorities.
Well, I mean, so sure, you know, why not? A stranger. I mean, I don't know if there's some completely frightening porn star approached me if I give them my urine, but I've in
all
my
the
own...
more reason to.
It wasn't that frightening.
Actually, well, so yeah. For example,
if
Esther Tro offered me, you know, to.
Don't you love that name? It looks like it should be like put into a mirror, and that's a real name.
It's like an anagram of like. It's an anagram of, you know, loves urine.
So if Esther Tro approached you, you might.
Well, sure. No, I'm completely comfortable with urine as a sexual. As an element of sex play. If somebody wants to urinate on me, by all means, go ahead. I'm ready. You know,
have a drink. Drinking urine.
Yeah, I don't have... I mean, it's not a particularly offensive fluid, I find, so sure, go for it.
Sterile and all that. By the way, the friend of mine who was giving the party, I believe, did, in fact, indulge this particular guy in this desire, so it's not like, you know, he had to go without because I wouldn't.
Wow. That's everybody...
How do the mechanics work?
I do not know.
A man drinking. Your friend was a woman or a man?
My friend was a woman.
Okay. So.
I had also heard that this particular porn actor, one of the other things that he particularly liked was to be jerked off into a glass of red wine and then to drink the wine.
See, that would not work for me.
Why not?
Why not?
You'd prefer white.
Well, it's not just that, but you know, right? After the moments after orgasm, I need to be left alone because I become very angry, and so.
You become angry after orgasm?
I've explained this on the radio before. It's not actually angry, but it's certainly I feel entirely non-sexual. So, the idea of drinking a glass of wine mixed with semen might be really appealing before, you know, the orgasm.
But you aren't drinking it. It's the other person that's drinking it.
No, it would have been him.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. That's why, by definition, self-semen ingestion can never work in my paradigm because unless I were performing auto-fellatio.
Have you ever tried?
Not only tried, I've mastered.
Really?
Well, sort of. When I was younger and had more free time, I would
more time for training.
I'd move a rib or two and then
That's right. And I would sort of curl up and sort of actually do sort of this kind of backward somersault thing. And, you know, it was never actually, if I were more well endowed,
You mean with your tongue?
But so it was never actually fun. It was always like, you know, I could barely get sort of the tip of my tongue to the sort of tip of my penis. In fact, I think autofellatio is what turned me gay. All that, you know, fellatio.
Autofellatio?
Oh, that object of desire just out of reach.
Really? Autofellatio turns you gay?
I can't think of any other factors. Urinophilia?
Urophilia, I suppose.
What's urophilia? You're scared of urine?
No,
philia. No, that would be loving.
So it's loving. Loving urine.
Sorry, phobia.
But anyway, so I would do this thing and you
Corey,
know.
Women pee too.
Yeah, but the mechanics are difficult. That's what I was trying to
do. That? They don't have a penis.
It's Ms.
Right. Excuse me. DJ misplaced priority.
Who is this Corey you speak of? So, but yeah, but, you know, it would be painful. This is probably another reason to do yoga. But, you know, I would be sore, I'd be sort of overstretched, and it would just hurt. And I would be kind of limping the next day. But, you know, you see somebody...
I wonder if this is related to your anger after orgasm.
Well, it could well be. I mean, I don't know if there's any kind of female analog. I still don't suppose, is female, you know, autocunnilingus possible in your...
I wouldn't rule it out, but I've certainly never heard of anyone who could.
I know people that are very flexible, and they're always, like, you know, putting their head between their crotch and putting their legs behind their neck and so on. You think that those people pretty much can access any part of their body. But anyway, I don't know. So, Ariel.
What is the strangest place you've had a sexual experience thing?
Pablo's jumping the gun on you, huh? I would say that the strangest place...
I'd only love to.
Oh.
Go on.
The strangest place ever, I would say, would have to be this closet in a fraternity house at MIT.
Were you a sorority girl? Or...
No, I was not a sorority girl. In fact, I don't even think I was in college at the time. I had just gone up to visit someone.
Go, girl.
And... they, in a creative moment, had taken this large walk-in closet and blocked off the doorway to the height of about 2 feet and filled it up about 2 feet full with these pieces of red foam rubber about the size of ping pong balls. I think as a project, this had followed on the heels of a visit to the Boston Children's Museum, and they had gotten this wonderful idea, oh, we have this closet we're not doing anything with, so we'll fill it full of red foam rubber balls. So... nobody actually had their own room in this fraternity house, so I suppose, sort of similar to the dorm problem, finding some privacy was a little bit difficult, but there was this closet. So we went in there and lay down on top of the red foam rubber balls. Yes. Pablo is, you know, making a little circle with thumb and forefinger to verify the size of the, mm-hmm. of the red foam rubber balls, I presume.
Yes.
They're a little like that. I mean, I'm sort of imagining are these sort of the children's play grounds that you see that are so common now that kids bounce around in this giant auditorium.
Well, in fact, this was a kids' playground.
Is that the idea here?
Well, they were soft, so it wasn't. I'm thinking IKEA has some
really?
Sort of playroom sort of thing with large
Loveline,
hard plastic.
WRCT do not sponsor or recommend any particular furniture store.
Name brand, right? Yeah. So, but the particularly interesting...
That's the IKEA, doesn't it?
I saw her there just last Tuesday. Buying an egg beater.
So anyway, so it's a soft foam balls, the size of ping pong balls, in a closet.
So
Knee deep, you said?
Yeah, it was about knee deep. And the interesting mm-hmm. thing was that you had to sort of tread water, right? Because over time, I mean, not at the speed of water, but you'd find yourself sinking, basically, and you'd have to
well, that's what I was wondering,
work your way back
yeah,
up.
It was
comfortable, except ball. That you had to do this occasionally.
I was actually imagining that you would be standing up.
No.
Okay. So you were trying to lay down?
Mm-hmm.
and have sex while you were sinking constantly?
Basically, yes.
So you eventually sank to the floor because at some point you stopped paying attention, right?
No, we never really stopped paying attention. It was not that intense sexual experience.
I guess it was at MIT.
Yeah, there is that.
Wow, it does make you sort of wonder how interesting it would be to have sex in a very dense fluid, like having sex in a pool.
Jello.
Or I was thinking mercury, but we can...
That would be poisonous.
Well, anyway. So the thing that disturbs me about all these ping pong balls or these foam balls, I mean, do people have sex in there a lot? Did it get kind of... rank in there with all the.
That's
you would think that all these little foam balls would be absorbing.
Together after certain.
Absorbing.
Well,
all the
I have no idea whether we created some kind of tradition or not. When I was there, they had only assembled this closet, in the past couple of days. So I don't think.
Well, is your microphone flaccid? Should we change it or fix it?
I think I just like gripping it like this. Actually.
Okay.
So was this recently? I mean, might there have been a hidden webcam that we can go
No. This was more than 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So, Mr. Ms. Place Priorities, where's the strangest place where you've ever had sex?
Do you tell?
Please.
Can someone be talking while I think about this? Because I don't think that... there are any strange places I've had sex, sadly.
One of my favorite past callers, I'll talk while you think. Is that okay? One of the more interesting calls that we got in this show was several months ago. Somebody called about, we were talking about places to have sex or where people had had sex. And when the Hyatt downtown in Pittsburgh was being built, he and his, it wasn't a girlfriend, it was somebody he had met, went to, at lunchtime, downtown, to the top of the construction site. And they thought nobody could see them, but of course there was the whole USX tower right next to them. That at lunchtime, apparently, a lot of those people stay in their offices and eat lunch. And when they were finally finished and the heat of passion was passed, they realized that there was a whole wall of a building looking at them. Kind of like the idea of the construction site. I think I also liked the idea of the lack of privacy, but I wasn't sure at the time because it would be downtown. Very business-like place. And misplaced.
I think I can conclusively say that I've never had sex in a strange place.
Where's the most normal place you've ever had sex?
I have no sex life. I think it just boils down to that. I mean, I had sex outside in the woods once, but I mean, that's so standard.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not. Describe it. How was it? Was it fir trees or was it deciduous trees, or was it autumn or spring, or what?
Well, the one interesting thing about this was this took place in this famous gay cruisy park here in Pittsburgh, and it was with my lover, but the problem was we were having sex and then people kept on walking by to examine us and that they would want to like join in or observe, and you know, you have to expect that because that's what everyone's doing there, but I didn't like it.
Was this in the Fruit Loop?
They scared me, yeah. The so-called mm-hmm. Fruit Loop. That was probably the most exotic place, but it wasn't particularly satisfying, and there was no, year-end processing going on at all, so far as I know, except for the usual year-end processing that goes on all the time. And I think that's it. I try to masturbate in as many places as possible, but even there, airplane laboratories. Oh, I did masturbate in my seat in a plane full of people one time. That was actually a technical achievement.
But all women do that.
Really? But can't women just masturbate just by, rocking back and forth?
Oh, rocking back and forth is so crude, Corey. Subtle muscle tension, that's where it's
really?
At.
Really?
Absolutely.
Can you masturbate by clenching? Are you masturbating right now?
No, for example? In this position?
You have to explain this to me. I'm actually completely fascinated by female physiology.
Now, Anne's position would be much more appropriate.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So if your legs are crossed, you just kind of like...
If you have your inner thighs together. Okay. And so if your inner thighs together, your labia are together, and your labia can press against
labia.
The male... Well, whatever.
The male parts.
The clitoris. What I often think of as being sort of the male vestige. Right. Yeah. The vestige of
what you wish maleness. Were your penis.
Well, what I often say, you know, God, if my clitoris were as big as a penis, I can understand why men are so sex oriented.
Interesting.
So, this is a prayer.
Yeah. It's a prayer or a sympathetic kind of little thing that I say.
A prayer for us, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, my whole body is in erogenous zone. It's not just... You're so penis-oriented.
Well, maybe I'm so clitoris-oriented. I don't know.
Interesting.
That's where I get the most bang for my buck.
So, can you have, like, a completely effective and satisfying masturbatory experience just by rocking? I mean, for my masturbatory encounters...
No, not rocking. No. Rocking can be observed.
I'm sorry. I keep on confusing terminology.
Tensing.
Squirming?
Tensing.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So, if...
Tensing, but there's more to it than that. For me, I don't know about you, Ariel, but there has to be more in my head than just...
Oh, yeah, definitely. You need the juicy fantasy going.
Yeah, there's a little more atmosphere to it.
When you reach climax, is that not noticeable?
Yeah, self-control.
Right, I mean, so, like, if I were masturbating, there'd be some point where I'd have to start sort of...
Screaming?
You know, pound or stroking my penis more quickly or harder or something so that my repetitive motions would be noticeable.
But is your actual reaction the same reaction that you would have as if you were having sex? I mean, would I don't know if you are loud when you are having sex with someone else and you reach climax or...
Well, you know, once I reach climax, I start getting angry, and so that's when I get loud. But no, not...
Do you scream, are you a screamer?
No. I don't... I think that's a female thing again. I don't know of men that are, like,
I see,
noisy.
I know some men that make noise.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
You make noise.
Yeah.
But I don't particularly make noise, you know? So, I mean, I could be sitting here right now.
Maybe it's a straight boy thing.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Gay for pay thing. By the way, if we have callers or if we have listeners and they want to call, our phone numbers are...
Country code 1, area code 412.
621 WRCT.
Or 268 WRCT. WRCT is 9728 if your phone does not have alphabetic characters.
Is our remote host still there?
Oh, yes, I'm fascinated.
Ah.
I would be making noise here. The advantage of being the remote host is that I'm under the prying eyes of the studio.
Are you tensing?
I could be tensing, but I don't think I can actually admit that.
I like this tensing. Is this tensing thing that you're talking about different from, you know, the Kegel exercises, which is, you know what that is. This is the...
Right.
I don't.
I actually explain them. I mean, I've heard of them, but I'm not that familiar.
Well, you have to be more...
Yeah, it's different, although you're probably, if you're tensing, you're probably Kegeling.
Kegels are simply this motion that you make when you want to constrict the flow of urine, sort of a tightening of your...
So it's a sphincter thing.
Well, it's an anal sphincter and or a urethral control thing. So, and people do it in order to have better sex, but apparently it enhances your orgasms.
It enhances them and it makes them take longer, I understand, okay. At least for men.
But this clenching, fisting, what was the word?
Filching, what?
Tensing.
This tensing thing is just you're squeezing your legs together or something.
Well, tensing, clenching, same thing.
Do you like lube yourself up with Vaseline or something beforehand?
There's no need to lube because there's nothing being inserted.
But you do want your parts to be sliding against each other in some kind of sensual thing.
Yeah, but friction maybe is important.
Do you keep a little red foam ball near you just to...
No, nothing so crude is required.
Wow, that's...
And it can be done in public, even in a plain seat, as you're sitting next to a stranger.
Well, when you masturbate, do you use lubrication?
Sometimes, but usually not, actually. I prefer the kind of abrasive quality of calloused hands against sensitive skin.
Because you're a working man.
That's right. Yeah. So,
are these Kegel things for guys and gals, or?
Yes.
I think so.
I've heard them in connection with guys.
Do you do these Kegel exercises and then magically they have an effect, or is there some kind of like activation code you have to enact during pre or post orgasm?
For men, I think the primary benefit is delayed ejaculation. Is that right?
So that's what I understand.
If you're a little too quick out of the gate,
You initiate the thing while it's happening, or
no? Well, you practice right now. You should be doing hundreds of them per day. You should, like, when you're reading or driving your car, you should be
or hosting a radio show,
clenching
or hosting a radio show. I'm doing it as we speak right now.
I believe I've done Kegels for every episode of Mobile Line since May. And we had Dr. Kegel as a guest,
Kegel too.
And he showed us the proper technique. They can be dangerous if done improperly.
Yeah, the effects are similar to those drugs that they give for impotence. They have the danger of giving you erections for 24 hours at a time. It's very dangerous. So, do we have any more questions for Ariel? She has had a full life, I'm sure.
Well, there was apparently some kind of trained sexual pet rat that I'm actually kind of interested in.
Excuse me, a rat?
A rodent that you had or a friend of yours had that was trained trained in the art of lovemaking.
So I was off with a bunch of friends at a campground, and there was a teenage girl there who had a pet rat that would lick anything you put saliva on.
As a keeper of rats, I should say, mm-hmm. I have had pet rats, and they like saliva for some reason. They'll if you hold them up to your lips, they'll like pry open your lips and lick your tongue. They crave it. I'm serious. It's so cute. I mean, once you get past your
and it feels a little good too.
Once you get past your inherent fear of rats, they're actually seriously.
A rat's tongue is not all that sensual, really. It's sort of like being poked gently with a pencil eraser. But,
well.
Sounds kind of good.
So your friend had this, your friend at the campground had this pet rat.
Had this pet rat, and yes, the rat became fairly popular, although the rat's owner would not allow the rat to go beyond second base, shall we say.
I forget. Ooh. What are the bases?
Yeah, what are the bases?
It's been a long time.
Above the waist. The rat was required to stay above the waist.
Oh, second base is the breasts.
Yes.
First is making out.
Mm-hmm.
Face. And third one is penetration.
No, that's home. That's home.
I forgot that there were four bases in baseball, you see. Okay.
Oh, and I'll interrupt this rat star because I believe we have a caller. Hello, greetings, caller.
Hello, this is Dr. John here. Better known as Dr. Kegel. I would like to set the record straight on Kegel exercises.
Oh, we're very glad.
Please
go
do.
Ahead, please.
Now, Kegel exercises, as you've been mentioning, are, yes, they are very useful for sexual enjoyment for both partners. Yet, they have another use.
Dr. Kegel, can I interrupt you just a second and ask, where do you hail from? You have such an interesting accent.
Lithuania. You know the count.
Go on, please.
Count Kegel, so these exercises are good both for men and for women, you say?
It is mainly for women, but the sexual enjoyment can be enhanced for both partners.
Really? You mean that the exercises of the woman make...
Resulting
increased pleasure for both partners?
Yes.
Are we talking about just the raw gripping power of the female's vagina?
But it has other uses as well. Very important uses.
Opening bottles.
That is not on my list, but yes, maybe, perhaps.
So what sort of things are on your list?
It prevents the leaking of urine when you sneeze or cough. This is a problem later in life for many women.
Really?
After they've had children.
It's in particular after they've had children.
Seriously?
It actually helps in childbirth. It makes good conditioned muscles, makes birth easier, and it makes less likely to have episiotomy.
To have a what? Pardon?
Episiotomies.
Makes it much less likely, or tears, much less likely, because the muscles are conditioned
But it actually, I mean, episiotomies, you do that to create a larger space. So the Kegel exercises are able to make the muscles expand to a larger...
More easily to expand, yes, because they are conditioned.
Wow.
So it is less likely to need episiotomy. And if you don't have episiotomy, oftentimes there are tears, and it does make it less likely as well. So it has many uses beyond the uses described in this program over the last several months.
So, Dr. Kegel, I often wonder if I'm doing my Kegels right. I mean, it seems just like this clenching that I'm doing can hardly be helping that much. I mean, should I be, you know, when you go to the gym and do weightlifting, you try to lift as much weight as you can, for example. Whereas when I'm clenching, I mean, it hardly seems like I'm really, should I, is there some sort of...
Well, there are very many variations on the Kegel that you can do. You can tighten slowly, going in and out. And you can tighten and hold the muscle. You can bulge muscles at the end. Many variations. And it is very. There are many resources. Your student health center, for example, is one resource that I'm sure has information on these exercises.
I believe they have a full-time staff member devoted to
perhaps,
Kegels.
Perhaps. Yeah, for demonstration.
So I would hope. Is there a Kegel website? That?
Yes. There. I don't know if there's a particular one, but there are some. For example, childbirth.org. There's information there about Kegel.
Is this the kind of thing that you can practice by, like, drinking a lot and then trying to not go to the bathroom?
Excellent question. I do not know.
Well, that would have a dual benefit because then when you do go, your urophilia friends take advantage of the flow.
I think it is more actually an issue of releasing some urine and then being able to stop it.
Ah, okay.
So, Dr. Kegel, where's the strangest place you've ever had sex?
The strangest place? I, like you, is misplaced priorities 10,000.
I like you too, Dr. Kegel.
Yes, thank you very much. Have very, very simple, very, no abnormal places, just like you.
So where's the most normal place you've ever had
the
sex?
The most normal, obviously in the bed, but...
And can your partners...
It depends, but of course it also depends on all sex, right? Does this mean, does one need a partner for this? Does one not need?
Well, let's say you don't need a partner.
Pardon?
Let's say you don't need a partner. We're not talking about penetration. Mm. Where's the most bizarre place where you've ever gotten off?
Let's say you're a band leader of a popular 80s band, staging your comeback... You're in your hotel room.
On stage? What? That's on stage, then.
For example, what's I was referring
popular
to
popular comeback. Let's see.
Are you doing your Kegels right now? Is that why you're distracted?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm thinking. It is hard thing to think. Just like Kegel is hard thinking. Perhaps on the roof of your building?
Really?
Yes.
Was it a flat roof or
it
a pitch
flat
roof?
Flat roof, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it an apartment building or like a factory?
This was actually a John McClory building.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but that's not very exciting.
It could be.
Not, but not very.
You were by yourself, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
What can I say?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong, but not very exciting, that's all.
All right. We move quickly away from the topic of masturbation.
Okay.
Dr. Kegel, please feel free to stay on the line stay or go. It's up to you. But thank you for your contribution.
You're very welcome.
I look forward to a future appearance. Are you working on any new sexual techniques, by the way?
No, I'm not. For information's sake, they're actually... You know, while I am in Dr. Kegel, there actually is a Dr. Kegel. There is an official Dr. Kegel who discovered the exercise.
Okay.
Just so you know. Okay.
What should we call you then?
Dr. Kegel.
Okay. Dr. Kegel 2.
Yes, Dr. John Kegel.
Okay.
Kegel.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
So, Ariel, really... when you're telling me the story of the rat in the campground, was this some kind of special campground that you're at? Earlier in our discussion, you were alluding to being part of some kind of interesting organization. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was at the campground for an event that takes place every year called Rites of Spring, hosted by a particular pagan organization that's attended by about 500 people.
What organization?
Gracious.
The Earth Spirit Community.
So there's 500 pagan people in a private campground in the springtime. Is that the image
I'm supposed to?
Wow.
What's going on there?
Dancing around maypoles, dancing around bonfires, filling wading pools with Jell-O, that sort of
really?
Thing.
Really? So you've actually done the Jell-O thing. Do you have to chill the Jell-O, or does it?
No, it was set? Only a wading pool. It was just a novel way of serving dessert. You really couldn't have fit more than one adult into it at a time.
But was one person in there? You can
no,
imagine.
There were no people in the waiting pool.
It'd be great to be gelled into a big waiting pool full of Jell-O, so that you'd be trapped inside the Jell-O.
With a little straw to breathe, I hope. Stravinsky is not related to this organization at all, right? The Rites of Spring is just a coincidence.
Yes.
Okay. And what sort of things go on that makes it worth noticing or worth mentioning?
Well,
a pagan organization, whatever that means.
The pagan and Kegel aren't related, right?
No. Well, DJ Misplaced Priorities 10,000 is, I presume, bringing it up because a number of my more interesting anecdotes come from experiences at Rites of Spring, but...
Oh, well, do tell, please.
One. That was a very smooth segue on my part.
It was. So the rat being one of them, this was...
Oh, I see.
This was at Rites of Spring. The teenage girl was one of the attendees, and she had brought her rat with her.
It sounds like maybe I should start going to these things. It sounds like this is my ideal fantasy, like being in a big sex fest with 500 horny, free-thinking people. I mean,
well,
like, is this a sex fest?
Hold on.
We haven't gotten that
say,
far.
Is
How
this
could it not
thing
be?
A sex fest? Are there people, like, having sex on the ground, like boogie nights?
It has sex fest components, shall we say. There's certainly a lot more to it, and not all of the 500 pagans there are well, I can't... Having never taken a poll to see which ones were horny and which ones weren't, but certainly not all 500 of them are being publicly horny, shall we say.
I mean, presumably it's a serious celebration of spiritual, you know, whatever, but...
Spring, but I imagine you're thinking spring is rutting season.
I'm thinking, like, you know...
Serious celebration as in real celebration, but not as in solemn, certainly.
Right. I'm thinking, like, you know... Steam room times 1,000, basically. I mean, or maybe not. what kinds of things have happened at these Rites of Spring? Is this more sort of just general sharing of affection, or can you describe your
people
most?
People are planting seeds.
There's a lot of sort of outrageous flirting and low key sharing of affection.
What's low key?
There's a lot of, you know,
kissing and
kissing game type silliness kinds of things. There, you know, certainly there's a lot of seduction taking place. There's a lot of sort of public making out in certain areas.
Right.
Kids
your
are
breasts,
there, I guess.
Huh?
Oh, that was sort of a one-time thing. There was only the one rat. He
only
a special
one rat
memory.
And only you, or did the rat go for many?
The rat was passed around, I must admit.
Uh-huh.
So you were trying to demonstrate this game to me earlier that I didn't quite understand. It was there's a game called Pass the Clove, or
I don't actually
kind of
know what it's called,
game.
And I'm told that the pagan community actually adopted it from the SCA community.
The SCA
is that a political
the Society
party?
For Creative Anachronism, I believe.
Well, the people who wear fake armor and. Reenact
the
fights of the Middle Ages?
That would be them. There's some crossover between the SCA people and pagans. But anyway, the custom is, as a party activity, to take an orange and stud it with cloves. And then whoever has the orange takes one clove out of the orange with their mouth and offers the orange to somebody that they'd like to kiss. And if the person accepts the orange, then they pass the clove to the other person via a kiss. And then the new person has the orange and can go offer it to somebody else, disposing of that particular clove.
And if the person rejects?
Then you go off and you offer the orange to someone new.
As I pointed out earlier, I think this whole game is structured wrong. I think if you have the orange, that should give you ultimate authority. You should be able to kiss whoever you want.
I am the orange master.
Yeah, exactly. But in a sense, it was.
How do you propose to enforce this?
Well, when people play the orange game, it's like truth or dare. You play or you pay. I mean,
It isn't usually like you get a bunch of people in a room who have all agreed to play the orange game.
It's sometimes kind of like you're at a party and just going on
within a much larger party.
Also, it kind of works that way. When you have the orange, you have the power to give them something they want, which is the orange.
So they can give it to someone else if they want the orange.
Mm-hmm. But this seems sort of oppressive too, because it seems like the orange would travel linearly upward towards the most attractive person in the group. It would then hoard the orange.
Well, that's assuming the order is linear.
Why would they hoard it?
Or it would move up until the upper echelon of attractiveness and then vibrate around.
You're assuming that everybody finds the same people the most attractive, and that's probably not true.
Oh, definitely.
Well, it's certainly not true, but I mean, let's face it, there are people that nobody will find attractive in the low end, and there are people that almost everyone will find attractive in the high end, and where do you think the orange is going to be spending most of its time, let's be honest.
So I suppose that there is the possibility that there will be some people who will sort of be wishing that the orange would come to them and kind of sitting in the corner, making sad come-hither eyes and will be neglected all evening.
Exactly, and they're probably, trying to fashion their own...
Isn't that a microcosm of society, though?
It's possible, but I'll tell you that I have not observed that happening.
Really?
That... I suspect if somebody actually was noticed to be doing that, unless they were actually someone who was considered to be, obnoxious and badly behaved, that someone probably would give them the orange.
But it's not
necessary for the kiss to be a particularly intimate kiss.
I wouldn't want the pity orange, though. I mean, I would want...
But if you're looking forlorn, I'm sure there is somebody who likes people who are forlorn.
I can tell.
So why are you more comfortable with the this person must kiss you, even though they don't want to, over the pity?
So it's worked its way up to the upper echelons, and you've got the genetic celebrity offering you... the orange, you'd jump on it. You wouldn't feel like a pity person.
Well, that's absolutely right. But there's so many questions here. The previous question was, there are certain echelons of society that I'm not allowed to enter. There are people who are too attractive. Like if I wanted to approach, the cast of 90210 and kiss all of them, I couldn't.
If
I had the orange.
This is a total aside here. Ms. Place Priorities, but which of the cast of 90210 would you actually want to kiss?
Donna.
Donna?
That's who he would want to kiss.
No. Donna has fake breasts and dyed hair.
Hey, I like that. No TV, please. I'm always clueless about it, and I'm going to veto it.
But I just,
you're oppressing us by your lack
of... For 2 seconds, I would just like to hear Ms. Place Priorities' opinion on this. Who would you like to kiss from 90210?
But actually, I don't watch that show, so I couldn't say that. In a more realistic example, Seven of Nine from Star Trek Voyager, I would give her the orange.
I'd give her a clove.
the warp. But imagine if I could carry this orange around with me in daily life, like if I were in the steam room.
But it's up to the other person to accept it or not. See, so. You make the overture, and they're going to take it.
Right, but I want the other orange. I want the orange of absolute power where they're attractive and they don't like me, but then I produce the orange, and then they have to kiss me.
But then it's gone.
Is that how it works at the festivals?
Yep.
So the orange has absolute power?
No, not the absolute power, but that you have to pass it along. Not like regular life.
Absolute power. You lose the absolute power when you use it.
You use up the orange when you use it.
I think it's an excellent moth repellent, too, isn't that right? Or is that something else?
What, clove? Or the person from 90210 or whatever.
90210, please.
So, Ariel.
Yes.
Were you ever seduced or seduce-y at one of these events?
Oh, certainly.
You mean emotionally seduced or actually sexually seduced?
Both.
I don't care to share.
Describe?
Well, I would have to pick the occasion.
How many years have you been going
pick
to this
and
thing?
Describe.
I've been going, the first time I went to it was 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Holy.
So you have probably a lot of experiences to recount.
Yes, yes, certainly. More than I think we would be able to cover in the next 10 minutes.
So let's cover one quickly.
First time.
The first time,
first
okay.
Time.
Well, the first time was a good one. So the first time was not a whole lot happened, but it happened with an interesting group of people. It was sort of late at night, in the field around the bonfire, and they had a big bonfire with sort of logs around it that people were sitting on. Some people were dancing and some people were playing drums. And I wound up in this group with two guys that I'd been hanging out with earlier and another guy, and we sort of were arranged on one of the logs sort of all in a row. At one end, there was the guy who was completely gay, and he was sort of fondling the next guy who was sort of completely polymorphously perverse, you know, anything goes. And he was sort of gently fondling the next guy, who was sort of mostly straight and kind of nervously going along with this. And then there was me. And it was all, you know, very low-key and friendly.
And the straight guy was fondling you, I presume.
That's correct.
As part of the string.
Yes.
So this was sort of a physical Kinsey scale that you were working out here on this log.
Exactly, exactly.
But were you fondling, were you were just like receiving all this?
I would, yeah, I was mostly pleasure. Just sort of laying back and receiving.
Oh, that's incredible.
Excellent.
See, my life has so little of this. Do I need to, like, buy into the whole pagan spirituality thing, or can I just go for the sexual parts of it? Is that possible?
I think just going for the sexual parts of it would be right in line with the pagan spirituality thing, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe this is... I'm looking at my notes here, and I think this might be in line with what you've been talking about. And I've written down naked woman on the altar, and I can't remember what that means.
But it's certainly pagan in nature, it sounds like.
Do you know why I've written that?
You wrote that down because I mentioned it was sort of another crossover thing. Just as there's a sort of pagan SCA overlap, there's also a sort of pagan Aleister Crowley type overlap. Thelemites. The Aleister Crowley types.
Thelemites.
Yes, Pablo.
Who's Aleister Crowley?
Aleister?
Oh, Aleister Crowley was this guy from earlier in the... Earlier in the century who billed himself as the most evil man in the world or something like that, mostly for sensationalist purposes. He was into Masonic ceremonial magic type things, and he sort of... There's a Masonic spin-off group that calls itself... No,
okay.
Not the Knights of Columbus. That calls itself... Calls what they do Thelema. And there's some...
Crossover between SCA, Thelema...
I don't want to describe it, try to describe it in any more detail, because I'm sure there will be some, you know, outraged campus Thelemites who will be calling up to say that...
Sorry, my curiosity interrupted the flow. Please,
right.
Go to go.
Well, the Thelemites...
I don't want to be corrected by Thelemites that I've misrepresented, so I don't want to try to describe it in more detail.
The Thelemites are the race in it that abducted Wesley Crusher and forced the Enterprise to trade him for some trilithium, isn't that right?
Trilithium? Is that better than
certainly could be. But
no,
if you want to know about the naked woman on the altar,
yes.
I met some Thelemites at Rites of Spring and went off with them to another gathering of theirs, sort of their version of Rites of Spring, where they were doing what they called the Gnostic Mass, which they probably would not like to call it a black mass, but certainly anyone... Certainly Jerry Falwell would have called it one. I'm sure their version, their sort of basic ritual and did involve at some points having a naked woman on the altar, and there was a lot of, gesturing with ritual staffs and stroking of the staffs, and rather, you could sort of call it closed captioned for the conceptually impaired. It was definitely It was the most boring fertility ritual I've ever attended. It was pretty much my take on it.
Neither WCT nor Loveline endorse any particular evangelist television empire. List of all Jerry Falwell.
Uh-huh.
So
would
they had
the actual penetration with these stats?
No. It was all very symbolic.
You would think why go through all that effort? I mean, when I think of these secret societies, I would think that they have to culminate in some sort of incredibly powerful like sexual experience. That's just not true. Are people just wearing robes and speaking
in
strange tongues?
And rituals are all symbolic. Really.
Maybe they did later on. I don't know. But this was definitely the Gnostic Mass was definitely a intellectual experience rather than a Dionysiac kind of an. It wasn't an ecstatic religious experience sort of thing. It was fairly tedious from my point of view.
Tedious, the most boring for children.
I mean, there was a lot of reading from books and, you know, and sort of gesturing with the audience all quietly watching. It was
sort of like a no play. Do the SCA members, should I join the SCA? Do they get a lot of sex?
I am not a member of the SCA, and I do not know how much sex the average SCA member gets.
I mean, is it all jousting, or is there more to
it? No pun intended.
Uh-huh.
Those big old things, what are they called, lances, coming at you? Hello.
Hello. So, in the last couple of minutes, to round out our list, our 20 strangest things, the last strange thing I was going to ask you is, what's the strangest affair you've ever had?
Oh, I can't. That's
there's no time.
That's not enough time.
Oh, well, pick something else. Quickly.
What else was on my list? I forget.
Well, we've done them all. First pagan experience. Second pagan experience.
It gets harder to sort.
The thing that was mouth-watering lead to the most interesting affair. You don't have to tell us about it. Just tell us what it's about.
Yeah. Give us a little teaser for next
year. The thing that was unusual. So, okay, I don't want to say most interesting, right? Because I've certainly had affairs that were more interesting than this without being as odd, sort of in this particular way.
Affair.
The thing that was particularly odd about this affair was that we had a sexual relationship with no expectation that we had to be nice to each other.
So far,
we were allowed to be.
So were you actually cruel to each other?
We weren't necessarily cruel, but we were
indifferent,
totally free.
It was accepted that we would sort of act as if we were each acting from totally selfish motives all the time. I mean, so for example, if one of us was going to touch the other, we would do it as if we were just doing it because we wanted to, and we would stop if the other person said stop, right? But if they didn't say stop and they just seemed bored or not to be paying attention and we were having a good time, we would just go on, right?
So this
and we wouldn't do anything out of generosity. We'd only do it because we wanted to do it.
This is the thing about being ravished, I guess, that a lot of people seem to like.
But this is the objectivist ideal. I mean, Ayn Rand would be praising you for this. This is
perhaps.
This is the kind of relationship she talks about in her books as being perfect. Each side taking from the other what they need.
We've been talking about starting an objectivist sex talk show. Yeah. We should do that sometime.
If there are any objectivists listening,
this was only sexual. This was not, you know, an emotional support relationship or anything like that. Also,
if you didn't need emotional support, why require it?
Just an affair.
Wow.
The theory of transactions in sex, that's something that interests me to a great extent.
Right.
I think we're just about out of time. I'd like personally to thank Ariel for her captivating and
powerful arousing.
Powerful arousing stories.
Yeah.
Do come back anytime. It's midnight, I think, and this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening.
I'd like to make an announcement before we go off, and that is that WRCT, as of now, starts random schedule for Thanksgiving. That means that your favorite shows may or may not be on the air for the next 4 days. Thank you.
Oh, I see. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming. Only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to gh1w@andrew.cmu.edu.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates at the long stem rose. Everybody knows. Another kind of love, I'll wear my leather mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand. I'm your man. If you want a boxer, I will step into the ring for you. If you want a Jewish doctor, I'll uncover every inch of you. If you want to drive or climb inside, or if you want to take me for a ride, well, you know. Chains too tight and the beast won't go to sleep. I've been running through all these promises to you that I made that I could not keep. But a man never got a woman back, not by begging on his knee. Or I'd crawl to you, baby, and I'd fall at your feet. And I'd howl at your beauty like a dog in heat. And I'd claw at your heart and I'd tear at your sheet. I'd say, please, I'm your man. Thank you.
on the road. I will steal for you. If you wanna work the street alone, I'll disappear for you. If you want a father for your child, or only wanna walk with me another mile across the sand, I'm your man. Yeah, the moon, too bright to change, too tight on the beast, won't go to sleep. I've been running through all of these promises to you that I made and I could not keep. Ah, but a man never got a woman bad, not by begging on his knee. Or I crawl to you, baby, and I fall at your feet, and I howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I sob your heart, and I tear at your sheet. I'd say please.